Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
Boys, I'm mellow as a honeydew. Yeah.
That cat is high. Look at that look in his eye. Oh man, he's high. Yes, higher than a kite. That cat is high.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. In the studio today, got a couple of buddies from Denizen Rum. We have Nick Pellis and Marshall Altier. How are you doing, guys?
Doing great, thank you.
Welcome to the show. So we've got Nick as the founder, and Marshall, he's the director of trade development. And I just noticed your label just changed recently, right? Because the bottle I have is quite a bit different. This is a little bit more old school, right?
Yeah, it did actually. We wanted to upgrade the package to have a package that's more in line with the quality of the spirit inside the bottle. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a retro look. We wanted to have some of the elements of Holland, which is where the brand is blended in Amsterdam. So there's a lot of orange in there, but at the same time, we wanted it to look like an old school rum bottle, some that you would find floating in the ocean right, if you're stranded on a deserted island.
Cool. And how did this product come about? Because it's been around, it's fairly recently released, right?
We actually launched in New York in March of 2010. So we limited our distribution, really wanted to focus on, you know, quote-unquote ambassador bars that could really give us some street credibility. And we've been successful. We're in some of the hottest bars and restaurants in New York. And now we're starting to expand with our distribution deal with Southern Wine and Spirits. But, you know, in terms of how this product came about, my vision was really to reintroduce flavor to the white rum category that I felt had been distilled out by mass producers over the years. We call Denizen a liberated spirit because it really frees the flavor of rum cocktails, particularly simple, easy-to-make, classic rum cocktails that don't require a lot of mixers to be added to the drink. You know, I don't know if you know this, but rum, much like many other spirits, experienced its golden age in the 20s and 30s, you know, obviously before Prohibition, but also during Prohibition in places like Cuba, where wealthy Americans and, you know, celebrities traveled to long before Las Vegas. And in Cuba, in Havana in particular, there was a bar called El Floridita that really gave birth to modern rum mixology trends, and they started making classic rum cocktails such as, you know, the Daiquiri, the El Presidente, the Flamingo, and they used very old school, flavorful, funky, aged white rums such as Havana Club, Añejo Blanco for those type of drinks. So we felt that there wasn't a product available in the U.S. because of obviously the embargo with Cuba that's similar and has a taste profile consistent with Havana Club and Añejo Blanco. So that was the opportunity we identified in the marketplace, and that's what kind of inspired us to introduce Denizen. It's a really flavorful white rum. So it doesn't taste like a vodka at all. A lot of white rums right now, as I mentioned, you know, we felt are mass produced. So it's all about, you know, continuous distilling, stripping out flavor, making it vodka-like. And we felt that's not what rum is all about. Rum is, you know, one of the classic spirits in the world. And we wanted to reintroduce a classic rum, particularly a white rum, to consumers in the U.S. market.
Yeah, cool. And like as you said, you know, you kind of were inspired by Havana Club, which we can't get here, which is great because everybody wants it. So it's cool. So what is the aging process that you do use for this rum?
Well, as I mentioned, we think that Denizen is a liberated spirit because it consists of three dimensions of flavor or three styles of rum. So Denizen consists of aged rum that's been aged in small American bourbon oak barrels. It's Trinidadian rum from the famed Angostura distillery, and it's aged in Trinidad, which is important because if products are aged in the Caribbean, because the temperature is so hot, it doesn't take a long time for the aging to really influence the character of the spirit. So we aged Denizen, the aged portion of it from Trinidad, between 3 to 5 years. So most white rums in the market today are only aged 2 years. And the aging process, all it really does is it just mellows out some of the harsher elements. It's not intended to really add character and flavor. For us, the aging is a big part of what Denizen is all about. It adds that vanilla, spicy note that you would come to expect from barrel aging. But that in and of itself would have made a one-dimensional rum. So we wanted to add, again, you know, more dimensions. So we added some fresh, unaged Trinidadian rum, also from Angostura, which provided some of the more earthy, bitter notes to balance off some of the sweeter elements from the aging. But the real star of this blend is that third dimension of flavor, which is the Jamaican pot still rum. We wanted a backbone of flavor that's uncommon in everyday mixing rums. And we felt that the best way to get that flavor was to complement, you know, the sweeter, more smoother Trinidadian notes with this funky floral bouquet that you can only get from Jamaican pot still rum. So, you know, it really is a liberated spirit. I mean, you know, when we first, you know, started thinking about the brand, that term kept on coming to life. And the more we started thinking about it, the more we started, you know, talking to the master blenders behind the brand, we feel we've accomplished this. When you have a Denizen cocktail, you know you're having a Denizen cocktail. The flavor really comes through overpowering mixers. It's a rebellious blend. It rebels against strong mixers such as Coke that could just consume lighter rums like a Bacardi, for example.
You're making me thirsty, so I mean, we'll get to that soon enough, but yeah, so that's really cool. I mean, like, I think that is a part of the market that obviously we definitely needed for a while, but especially for a lot of cocktail drinkers and cocktail bartenders, we're starting to like really gain a taste again for stronger flavors, you know, more bold, like, you know, like Rittenhouse 100 proof rye, you know, we're putting that in everything. And like Smith and Cross being the Jamaican pot still Navy strength rum, you know, which is a huge funk bomb. But, I mean, like, you can just see with even more bitters and like Fernet and like all these bold flavors, we're starting to actually readjust to what our palate would have been like 100 years ago before we hit prohibition and started losing all these ingredients. And I think it's a really cool thing that not only the customers and the bartenders are recognizing that, but now producers like yourself are starting to realize that that this is something that we've been needing.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it comes down to small entrepreneurs in the spirit industry, to be quite honest. I think, you know, the bigger, more established suppliers, you know, they cut corners. It's all about profit at the end of the day. And
quantity, it's, not quality.
It's really about volume. And, you know, I think part of the reason why we've lost flavor in the rum category in particular, specifically within the white rum sub-tier, is because of these tax subsidies that the U.S. government started providing islands such as Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. These subsidies are entirely based on the amount of volume of rum that distillers based in these islands import into the U.S. They're not tied to any quality standards whatsoever. So obviously you've seen, you know, Puerto Rico has lost some of these subsidies when Captain Morgan decided to switch their production of their spiced rum to the U.S. Virgin Islands, St. Croix, you know. So, you know, it's just, it's a profit game, it's a volume game. And for us, we wanted to celebrate the craftsmanship of old school rum. And, you know, it takes guts, to be honest with you, you know. It really does. But we have a passion in what we do that some of the bigger companies don't necessarily have, particularly as it relates to rum products.
Yeah. And, like, I feel like a lot of times the bigger companies are, it's not just about the, it's there's a lot of gimmicks involved. Like, I just saw something for, and I'm not talking shit, but I'm, but I can because I'm never going to have them on my show. But Malibu put out a, what's it called, Red, and it has, like, it's Malibu coconut rum with tequila in it.
Tequila. Yeah.
That's sounds disgusting.
Yep.
Yeah, but it's like, it's all about like this marketing gimmicky thing, you know? I just don't understand. I mean, I get it. Because there, for all the three of us geeking out about cocktails in here and geeking about rums, there are so many more people out there that don't give a shit about what they put in their body.
It's true. But I think, you know, we're hitting the influencers and it's only a matter of time. And, you know, it's going to start spreading out. You know, right now, the metro areas obviously have these great cocktail bars where, you know, the bartenders are acting like bar chefs. They really spend a lot of time making sure that their drinks have high-quality, fresh ingredients. And, you know, you're going to start seeing that proliferation in, you know, in New York, in the outer boroughs, and, you know, in the suburbs of the majority of America.
I mean, even with, like, you know, when we have, like, bartender competitions, like, cocktail competitions, and, like, different things like the Manhattan Cocktail Classic and Tales of the Cocktail, Portland Cocktail Week, you're starting to see that even, like, there's a San Antonio cocktail, I can't remember who put that one up, but San Antonio. Too many sands.
Arizona as well.
Yeah, Arizona. It's cool because, like, even when you look at magazines, you know, like cooking magazines and drinks magazines, you're starting to see these bartenders' recipes getting credited from all over the country, like St. Paul, Minnesota, and, you know, Boise, Idaho, and Gary, Indiana, or whatever.
Cleveland, Ohio,
right there. Yeah. Lone Wolf, Oklahoma. So, yeah, it's cool that, like, that reach is starting to get out there. And, you know, even just the other day, I was walking around with some buddies hitting some bars in New York City, and I just started realizing, like, wow, I haven't been to this place, haven't been to this place yet. It's like, and I feel like all I ever do is go to bars, but, like, there's so many more now.
Half of them will close before you ever get there.
the way I get around it, yeah, probably. But, I mean, no, it's cool because, like, there was a point when this all first started up, the you know, renaissance of cocktails in the modern day, when we started getting these great books repressed and better bar tools, better ingredients, better spirits coming out, that it became a thing. And, like, there was a lot of poaching going on with different bars that were opening up. They were taking, and I'm not going to mention any names, but they were taking, like, the good bartenders from the places where they were established to open up another place. But then that person would just leave that place and, like, ended up having all these bars open up, and there weren't enough bartenders that knew what they were doing to man the shift, you know? But now it's actually, I feel like it's starting to level out, you know? It's like we're starting to, like, catch up. And it's the same thing with the spirits category, you know? Like, the spirits in general, it's like we had these cocktail bars popping up and, you know, these smaller cities, places you wouldn't really think there was a scene for it, that couldn't even have access for something like a Denizen rum. But now we're actually getting to that point, you know, where, like, you know, Dolin Blanc Vermouth, you can start getting, you're starting to be able to find that in smaller satellite cities, you know, and it's really cool. Like, we're coming a long way. And to have a product like this come out that's actually really affordable for the quality, too, it's just an awesome time, you know. It's cool that we're going to have an awesome drink here in a little bit.
Yeah, you know, white rum shouldn't be expensive, you know, by virtue of what it is. It's a pretty straightforward thing to make, and doesn't have to cost a lot.
Yeah, pretty much 80% of rum, the way it's consumed in the U.S. right now, is a Cuba Libre, rum and coke, or a mojito. And, you know, unless you really are passionate about the cocktails that you make in your venue, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what rum you choose to pour, because the mint in a mojito and the coke is just so strong, it overpowers it.
Right.
You know, so, you know, with Denizen, I think that we can actually capture the majority of the rum business in a Cuba Libre and a mojito, because, you know, the cost per ounce is affordable for venues.
Yeah.
So we're not necessarily asking them to take a step up and pay more for something that, you know, is kind of, you know, a mainstream drink in their cocktail program.
Totally. Well, speaking of drinks, why don't we take a break? Because I can't stop staring at this mixing glass over here. When we get back, we'll be talking with Nick and Marshall of Denizen Rum, and we'll be making an awesome cocktail called the El Presidente. Back in a moment.
I'm a medicine. Still didn't mean the fear of God, but all he was a man, and I'm going down. Yeah, I'm going down. Yeah, I did it then. Lord knows I'd do it again. I'm going down. So I went to my sister, saw what he had done. Left without saying, you know what, I grabbed my hat and got him going down. Yeah, I'll take him down.
The following is a message from HeritageFoodsUSA.com. Heritage Foods USA promotes genetic diversity, small family farms, and a fully traceable food supply, committed to making wholesome, delicious, and sustainably produced heritage foods available to all Americans. Heritage Foods USA purchases 200 heritage pigs a week, each and every week, from a network of about 25 independent farms. In addition to pork, they also process about 7,500 heritage turkeys each November, as well as small amounts of other foods like heritage lamb, beef, and chicken. Learn more and order today at heritagefoodsusa.com.
And we are back. We've just been speaking with Nick Bellis and Marshall Altier from Denizen Rum, talking about the company itself and how the inspiration of coming up with this flavor profile of an amazing, flavorful white rum, which is something a lot of people don't think of. Like, as you said before, it's a lot of times mass-produced and comes off more like a vodka, but this one, you've got some really cool flavor profiles going into it. And now we're going to make a cocktail. This is a classic. I'm going to let you take it away, Marshall.
Cool, yeah. We're going to make the El Presidente. El Presidente is a pretty cool anomaly within that era of Cuban mixology that Nick was talking about earlier. During the 1920s, when there was prohibition going on in the States, a lot of people were going to Havana to party. It's kind of like what Vegas might be thought of now. It was a place where people went and gambled and drank all night, and you could do that legally. And so following that, there were a lot of bartenders that left the States to go get work in Cuba, and them, along with the Cuban contingent of bartenders that were already very creative and working with these flavorful white rums, started to really get, you know, funky and come up with this vast list of classic cocktails. And this is where the daiquiri might have been invented already, but that's where it kind of became famous, and the flamingo and, you know, the mojito at La Bodeguita and all these famous things. Now this is when they really started to hit their stride. So the El Presidente is kind of an anomaly in the sense that it's the one drink that I know of anyway that's spirit on spirit out of all of those, because a lot of them have fruit juices and grenadine and a lot of these typical Cuban ingredients.
There's only one other white rum cocktail that I know of that's stirred, and it's called the Three Faces. Do you know that one?
No,
it's
I don't.
White rum, yellow chartreuse, and I want to say like Galliano or something like that. I'll look it up.
Is it a modern one or is it a classic?
It's old. I think. I got it out of the Mixers Journal. What's the guy's name? Mixers Manual by... Okay.
Mixers Manual. I'm sure I know.
It's going to come to me halfway through the recipe, but I'll find it.
I'll be anxious to hear about it. There's one other one that alternates between aged white and just aged ambiguous, you know, in a cocktail book that you'll have those ambiguities. Aged rums, and that's the Fair and Warmer, which I think is a Charles H. Baker drink. And that's got vermouth and curacao, which, again, you see here. But this one's pretty distinctly Cuban in the sense that it does have grenadine for some color. And that was a very typical ingredient at the time. So that kind of tips it off. And I've heard it described as kind of the Manhattan of the time, but it's a little more like a classic martini in the sense that we're using the aged white rum. And again, I'll go into this later. Sorry, excuse me. It's equal parts of the aged white rum and Blanc vermouth. And this cocktail, if you do some research on it, there's a lot of different interpretations of it. And some people use aged rum and therefore brown rums instead of white. About a year ago, about the same time that we started to really kick Denizen into gear and do a lot of research on Cuban drinks, Dave Wandrich did some really interesting work on this drink and figured out that probably that it wasn't dry vermouth, which is what a lot of people were using for a long time, but the Blanc vermouth. And I think the recipe that he found was from 1924, and it called for Chambéry, and they figured out that Chambéry vermouth would have been Blanc exported, long story short. Again, typical of that kind of style of drink from Cuba and typical of a martini, if you can sort of imagine molding those together. We've got equal parts of white rum and equal parts of the Blanc vermouth, and there's a little curacao in it to round it out. Grenadine really gives it color more than anything. There's not a lot of flavor from it. We're making the grenadine fresh, of course. That's important to the drink. The original spec doesn't call for it, but I like a little orange bitters. I don't even really use a full dash in this of Regan's. I use about half a dash, just a few drops. It just spices it up a little bit and ties it together, which is, you know, what bitters do. So I'm going to go ahead and stir it up now.
Yeah, go for it. I figured out where that Three Faces cocktail is from.
Okay, good.
It's the Patrick Gavin Duffy mixer's name.
Patrick Gavin
Duffy. And it's 1 ounce light rum, 1 ounce Galliano, and half an ounce Campari.
I'm not sure. Try that one out.
You know what? It's been probably 5 years since I've made that one, but I remember it was pretty good. By pretty good, I mean, maybe questionable.
Might have to tweak it a little bit.
Yeah, but,
that was one of the really fun things of starting to work with Denizen and rediscover these drinks. It just reawakens the drinks, you know. Mm-hmm. That this, the El Presidente, I remember making as a young bartender, and probably I used, you know, a decent brand of white rum at the time, I thought, and dry vermouth, and I just thought, this drink sucks, like, next, you know?
Yeah.
On to the next drink.
Well, I remember seeing it in the Museum of the American... Wait, was the... the Tales of the Cocktail book, the black, little black book?
Yep.
I remember seeing it in there and making it with dry vermouth and being like, this drink sucks. Like he said, next.
I think Nick and I have both, we've talked about this and we've agreed that this is one of the really cool aspects of Denizen, of being able to say, like, hey, like, you don't have to dismiss white rum in stirred drinks anymore. We can start to think about it that way.
I agree. It's all about the versatility of the product. And that's been our key selling point to a lot of the bars that we've been selling Denizen into, the fact that, you know, they can make very simple drinks, you know, with Denizen, and they don't have to spend a lot of money on expensive liqueurs, that the spirit itself has a lot of flavor that should be celebrated in the cocktails. But if they really want to get, you know, really expressive and try making these world-class cocktails with, you know, very unique ingredients that you wouldn't be able to find anywhere, that Denizen will just be able to elevate those cocktails to another level. So it's kind of a one-stop shop with Denizen, where you don't necessarily have to spend $29.99 on a dark rum and $14.99 on a white rum. You could get everything you want in just a bottle of Denizen aged white rum.
El Presidente. Sweet. So... just so everybody has the spec out there, again, we're doing equal parts of the... I'm using Dolin Blanc Vermouth, but, you know, Martini and Rossi will stand in just fine if you can find that. 1.5 ounces of the vermouth, 1.5 ounces of Denizen rum, equal parts to stand up to one another. I'm using a full bar spoon of Grand Marnier or orange Curacao, whatever you've got at home should work for you. Make sure it's a Curacao, not a triple sec for the body. About half a bar spoon of homemade grenadine. In this case, I'm doing just equal parts of pomegranate juice and sugar reduced down with a little orange blossom water. A few dashes. This is, you know, if you don't have orange blossom water, no big deal, but it really does add a nice touch.
You can find it at most grocery stores.
Most specialty grocery stores, yeah, you can find orange blossom water. And it's, you know, if you ever want to make a Ramos Gin Fizz, you should have it at home anyway. And then I've used a little bit of Regan's Orange Bitters to tie the whole thing together. And this is not really the classic recipe, but for me, it just kind of adds another dimension of flavor to the drink.
Well, that's a great thing about modern cocktail making, especially with classic cocktail recipes, is that you can tweak them, you know?
Yeah.
It's never just a straight up, like, this has to be this way. I mean, I've always said I wanted to do, like, a flow chart of all these classics and how just, like, the tiniest bit of difference in one spec, you know, it's got a completely different name.
Yeah,
or just like
a different family. Yeah, sure.
It's weird how that happens, but it's true. But I think a lot of times people were making, like, they were putting out all these books and you would see it in different ways and different...
Some of them were branded.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like for instance, the Big Hardy cocktail, it's a daiquiri, mm-hmm. but it has grenadine in it. Cheers, guys.
Salud.
Cheers.
You're way over there. Clink your glass. Oh, man, that's fantastic. Jack, you got to get one of these. Jack's looking through the window like, man, I hate you guys. Cool, man. Yeah, it really does stand up with all those flavors. And I've noticed when I've used it with, like, even, like, different Amari, like Maletti, Averna, you know, stuff that has a little bit more, like, baking spice to it,
mm-hmm.
it really works well, too, like, with cinnamon and things like that.
Yeah, that's too. It's that sort of, like, American oak influence mm-hmm. being brought out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the rum really finishes dry at the same time, too, which I guess I didn't experience a lot as maybe I'm a little bit sheltered as a cocktail bartender, but I never hear a lot of people say, like, you know, rum is sweet to me. But now going out and talking more to people about rum, working with the brand, I hear that a lot. You know, I always thought rum was sweet, and it definitely doesn't have to be that.
No, not at all. In fact, my favorite ones are, you know, like the drier, super like dry, funkier, yeah. like you were saying, the Jamaican rum, which I can definitely get in this.
Yep.
I love that, like, just kind of funky, grassy, you know, earthy.
One thing that we're also kind of talking about now is extending the product line to do an aged rum as well, eventually. We're not there yet. And that's one thing, you know, not to mention any names, but we're looking at the more kind of dry, funky styles of aged rums, and that's kind of the benchmark for me, anyway.
So this is actually on your website. You were talking about this earlier, that you have a section called the Rum Diaries.
Yeah, rummixology.com, which is a separate entity from the website, because it's not about the brand, really. It's about the category of rum.
Cool.
And we're working more and more every day to make it a conversation with the industry across the world, really, and get other bartenders involved to talk about how they're using rum, because, like we talked about already, this is a growing category. You know, we want to start a conversation, so that it's kind of an open forum. But I've been doing a lot of adding to the blog myself, just ideas of things like talking about stirred white rum cocktails, for instance.
And this is up this month, right?
This will be up. Actually, this post is going up live today, so this will be the history of the El Presidente and sort of the, you know, a spec and why we think it's cool for the rum. We'll talk about that a little bit on the blog. Yeah,
awesome. And that's great, because you'll have the spec and the photo will be up of that.
Absolutely.
Awesome. And that's cool. I need to check that out too, because as much as I love rum, I should probably be brushing up, especially now that it's summertime and it's time to rock it.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that rum is bad in the winter, because I love good rum cocktails in the winter. I like to switch it up, you know.
Yeah, have for like sure.
Have a caipirinha or, you know, like in the middle of the dead of winter.
It's definitely daiquiri season. In fact, the 19th of the month is National Daiquiri Day. So
nice.
We've been talking about what we want to do to sort of kick that off. But, you know, we're there. This is high season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what we were talking about before the show a little bit, about the white rum category, and how when you take it to a bar, it's like, one of the first things that the bartender does nowadays, and I love this, especially like with cocktail bars and whatnot, they always do the daiquiri test. I do it every time a white rum comes in, because, you know, I know like what the other flavors, the lime and the sugar, taste like in the drink. That way I can judge the rum with it. And it's one of the most perfect drinks anyway, the daiquiri.
It really is the litmus test for a rum, and also for just balance in general. I think I mentioned earlier, I heard Audrey Sanders, I think it was at Speed Rack this year at Manhattan Cocktail Classic, I heard her refer to it as the acid test, and I think that's kind of a fun little way to think about it, because, you know, it really is kind of dipping the litmus paper into the drink and figuring out what's going on in there in that rum.
You certainly can't hide poorly distilled distillates in a daiquiri,
right?
Because it's just three basic ingredients. It's just lime juice, simple syrup, and the base spirit, the white rum. And you know, that's our go-to cocktail, to be honest with you, because it's all about the flavor of that is an aged white rum and how it enhances and complements the flavors of the lime and the simple syrup. But just to go back to your earlier point about, you know, rum being an all-year-round type of spirit, that's something that we strongly believe in. And we've actually modified our cocktail list or pipeline of cocktail recipes that Marshall put together to include fall winter recipes. So we have variations of the daiquiri that are more in line with fall winter. So we have a spice daiquiri, which includes infused simple syrup that has cardamom, which is a traditional Trinidadian spice.
Yep.
Cloves. A little nutmeg.
People love it.
Nutmeg.
And it totally takes you to that place mentally when you have it, even though the daiquiri is such a traditional summer style drink. It's also so malleable. It's such just a skeleton, you know, that you can lay flavors on top of.
It's like a Manhattan, you know?
Yeah.
You have a very base foundation. Endless. And you can, I mean, how many variations are there on the Manhattan nowadays?
Yep.
You know? It's crazy.
Yeah, we have a really great variation on Dick Bradzell's treacle that we do with rum, and using my baked apple bitters in that one.
Nice.
Shameless plug. and just molasses and fresh pressed apple juice, and that people love that in the winter time. So, you know, because of the influence of the American oak, the rum really is kind of versatile in that way.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Are you guys planning on doing anything down at Tales of the Cocktail in a couple weeks?
We're not in New Orleans yet, and we're really kind of focusing on New York and moving out west sooner rather than later. and so, you know, I'll have some bottles for some friends down there. Maybe I shouldn't say that because it's probably not the most legal thing in the world to do, to bring some bottles. But, you know, I've got some friends that operate bars, and I always like to bring them treats. And especially with the new package, we'll be down there kind of sharing the love. But nothing active as of this year.
Well, we're Denizen is a founding member of the Rump for All initiative that's sponsored
by
Paul Picoult and Sean Ludford. So, again, you know, Marshall and I are not naive enough to think that Denizen is, you know, the only white rum in the market today, and it's the best white rum. We want to elevate the entire rum category. And having said that, we felt it was important to support people like Paul Picoult and Sean Ludford that are looking to take, you know, rum to the pantheon of spirits and cocktails going forward. So, you know, Denizen is one of the 15 founding members, and we're going to be featured in their seminar, which they're conducting down in New Orleans.
Oh, very cool.
That's really, really an honor to be asked. It's an invite-only situation to be part of that, and it's a very selective group. So I'm embarrassed that I left that out. but we'll be there. I'll be there. In fact, if anyone's down at Tales of the Cocktail and makes it to the Rum for All seminar, come say hi.
I have to look through my email and see if I got invited to that one. I've been getting bombarded by media emails for the whole event, and I can't make them all, but I definitely want to try and make it to that one.
It's that
sounds
time.
Awesome.
It's that time.
Yeah. Well, cool. Thanks so much for being on the show, guys. I can't believe we had a rum show and didn't talk about tiki drinks at any point. That's awesome.
Next time.
Yeah, next time. You'll have to come back, you know.
I'd love to.
Yeah, so thanks again for coming on the show, Marshall and Nick. And check out Denizen Rum. It's denizenrum.com.
Mm-hmm.
And
rummixology.com.
Rummixology.com. And I guess next time I'll see you, we'll be in New Orleans.
All right.
All right, cool. Thanks again.
Thank
All right.
You.
We will see you next week on The Speakeasy. Cheers.
Look at that look in his eye. Man, I wouldn't lie. It gets higher than a kite.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our programs archived on our website or by searching iTunes for Heritage Radio Network. You can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter @heritage_radio. You can email us at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website. Thanks for listening. Than a kite. Boys, he's high.